Today's guest is Phil Ross. Now, the show is focused on entrepreneurship, business, and things of that matter and nature. Every now and then, you come across somebody who has continued to reinvent themselves time and time again. And when you look at the world of health and fitness and wellness, you can think of a few people that stood out over history. One name in particular, like Jack Lane and people of that nature. Today, we have someone, Phil Ross, namely, who will share a story with you of what drives him to be able to have such consistency in his fitness outside of just his professional standards as a coach. He's an adjunct professor at a college. He's the coach and trainer, like I told you. He's a global CIO. In fact, he actually had one of the biggest contracts with Bloomberg on the East Coast, all before 9/11 happened, and he was one call away from actually being there that day in the office, and instead showed up a few hours later using what he knows, CPR, to save lives as that took place. And that's just the beginning of this conversation. From then on, I asked Phil some interesting questions about people who work hard labor and what does it look like for them in terms of considerations to live better longer, which is his cornerstone. This is what he encourages all of us to do. Not necessarily to add years to our life, but to add life to our years. So again, like I started this may not be specifically about entrepreneurship, but this is an entrepreneur and make no mistake about it. Multiple reinventions, surviving through the pandemic, taking what is a very physical in-person experience that he created for people onto the online world and then back again. The art of the pivot is in this story. The art and science of health and fitness is in this story. And more importantly, the mindset that every entrepreneur needs in order to succeed. Without further ado, Phil Ross. You have such an interesting background and you just looked at every aspect of human performance. For me, I don't take that lightly because someone who goes into that space doesn't go in there by accident, and to do it successfully and and be in shape and win black belts, that takes discipline. It takes effort. It takes execution and planning. So I was thinking, where could I start with things? You know, I thought to myself, well, you know, most of the people who are listening are entrepreneurs, business owners. A lot of them spend a lot of time sitting down in front of a computer. I myself am guilty of the same. Don't always move a lot. Where did your passion for movement and excellence really start?
At a young age, you know, when we were first growing up, we lived with my grandparents. And my grandfather was a boxing trainer at Paul Cavaliers Gym in Paterson, New Jersey. And that was, you know, his part-time job. He was a pressman in the, you know, the mills. And, you know, he started me working out as a kid. Like, told me how to throw a punch. He taught me about how to do abdominals. He said, oh, you always got to be in condition. And then on the other side, my dad, that was my mother's father. And my dad was a big time athlete, you know, was a really good football player, you know, with the college and so forth with that. And then he was a Marine as well. So, you know, I wanted to be strong. And then my uncle, who lived across the street, was a state trooper, always in shape. You know, so I had these people around me that were athletes, that were in condition, and, you know, so that was kind of ingrained into me.
It makes a difference, doesn't it?
It really does. And the thing is, you know, that's one of the reasons I you know, people say that, you know, the most common reason that they don't train is they don't have the time. I don't have the time. You know, and the thing is that, well, what do you have the time for? Do you have the time to die early or live miserably because you can't move? You know, and I kind of came up with a solution to this. During COVID, when everyone was locked down, right? And audience knows I'm a full-time college professor, and I'm in the exercise and wellness and sports management side of the school. That's what I'm a professor in the WEX department. So what I did was to stimulate people. I put together these workouts and put them online. Okay. And then as I was sitting there, you know, do work And you know, you can get involved in your work. I can sit there for hours. I said, you know, every hour I'm getting up, and I did a 5-minute workout. So I get up, whether it's push-ups, sit-ups, squats, bridges, whatever, swing a kettlebell press, work some kickboxing, work some boxing, stretch. And what I do is I put together 55 workouts that you can do in a 6x6 space with little to no equipment. And I said, well, this is like an exercise snack. Now, imagine you were someone who's deconditioned. You know, you don't want to go to a gym. You're intimidated. You don't have the time and you don't have the endurance to do a half hour or an hour workout, right? But if you say, hey, you know what? Can you do this 5-minute workout? Do you think you could do a 5-minute workout?
Absolutely.
Anybody can, right?
Yeah.
Right? So say, okay, now do it twice a day, right? And then you build on it. And then eventually these people can build up their endurance and their confidence to be able to implement a program where they're doing, you know, a half hour a day. If you do a half hour a day, that's great. Look, you don't have to be a Navy SEAL or an Olympic athlete to be in shape, right? And I've actually trained both. But everyone can move. You can certainly do 5 minutes to start. It's not intimidating. A lot of people are intimidated. And my heart goes out to them because I feel terrible. You know, one of my major drivers is that, you know, my dad was a great athlete and so forth. But what he wound up doing was he got very overweight. He was one of the people, oh, I don't have time. He's got time to go out to dinner, time for this, time for that, but didn't have the time to dedicate to training. And unfortunately, he was 2 inches shorter than me and 100 pounds heavier.
Oh,
and at 66, you know, he left us. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, thanks. It's so I am like determined. I have some of my clients who are heavy and I work with them, with fervor, let us say, because I have
it's personal.
Reason.
Yeah.
It is. It's very personal, very personal. And people say, well, what is your goal now? So my goal before when I was an athlete and think of selfish goals, right? Because I was an athlete and I wanted to compete and be a champion. I wanted to be a champion in different disciplines, which I was able to do fairly well at. But now, since I've moved to more of the coaching phase, I want to help people live better longer. Live better longer. You know, the difference between living and existing is your ability to move, right? So if you can move well and you have strength, you're going to live better longer. Look, you might not live like extensively longer because you're healthier, but you know, you're going to live better longer. You won't be hunched over. You'll be able to reach up and grab something out of the cabinet. You know, you'll be able to bend over and pick something up. You'll be able to, you know, go for a hike with your grandchildren or throw a ball, right? I want people to be able to do this kind of stuff, enjoy yourselves. And it doesn't take that much. I mean, heck, if you look at it, if you can go in and give yourself 15, 20 minutes, half hour a day, that's going to increase your livelihood, increase your life and your ability to move. So
how often do you find people take that for granted?
A lot. People and people are like, oh yeah, I'll do it later. Yeah, I'm starting tomorrow or New Year's or whatever. It's like, no, there's nothing wrong with the present. Look, we're living in the present moment. Take advantage of the present moment. Here you are. And look at this, you know, take advantage of where you are. You know, people complain a lot. People complain a lot, right? But you know what? Look around you. You're the greatest country in the world, okay? Be thankful for what you have and use what you have. You know, instead of sitting there and complaining, like we have a rule here where it's like, if you find one thing to complain about, you got to list three things that you're thankful for. Because, you know, even if you look at depression, right? What's depression? What's the opposite of depression? It's not happiness. It's thankfulness because you're grateful for what you have. So, you know, be grateful you live in this country. I mean, look at those poor people in Haiti right now.
Yeah.
I'm not getting political, but geez, Louise, I mean, and you're going to complain that, I don't know, your hair color isn't right. I mean, I don't know. It's like,
no, I'm picking up a lot of mindset from the way that you approach things. And I hear the passion when you're speaking about wellness. And after you share your story about where that driver is coming from, I start to put these things together in my head. And I see the coach in you as a natural extension of who you are and someone who's found their purpose in day-to-day life and how you relate to others and the world around you. And I think that that's a very rare thing. Many people start a business, they do it because, well, you know, maybe they couldn't get employed somewhere, or they didn't know what else they should do. So they said, oh, I might as well start a business. And they probably lead pretty decent lives. But it's a whole nother thing when you find exactly where you belong.
Yes.
And your track record speaks for itself. And one of the things I found interesting is that you highlight that you have a kettlebell training. Now, why kettlebell? I've seen videos here and there, but why specifically that as a highlight?
Okay. Let me tell you, the kettlebell, it mimics real life and sport more than any other implement out there. Look, I won bodybuilding tournaments. I won Olympic lifting tournaments. I was an elite level power lifter, okay? At the 181 pound weight class, no steroids, nothing. I was squatting 5 1/4, benching 370 with a pause. Okay. And I weighed in at 179.9. Okay. You know how hard that is. All right. So this is But what I found was the kettlebell, because it not only addresses the sagittal and frontal planes, as you do with standard weight training, okay, but it addresses the transverse plane. And where does sport and life take place? In the transverse plane. Where do most injuries occur? In the transverse plane. So I want to be strong on my transverse plane, and I'm always going through my core, right? So once I got my hands on this, I was like, wow, this is awesome. When I really learned it, I just went nuts with it. And, I trained with, for 6 years, I trained with the man who brought it here, Pavel Tatsaline. He brought the kettlebells here from Russia. And I became certified with him. I became a certified instructor with him. And then he left the organization, whatever. Now I'm doing my own, because what I've done is I've taken the lessons that I've learned from him and the program, RKC, I'm also certified in body weight in 2 different organizations, plus all of my own knowledge of, I guess it's got to be over 50 years of working out.
Plus martial arts and what comes from those techniques. And I can only imagine the kinesthetic. I mean, you're truly a professor of movement.
Yeah, I am. That's what I do. on a college level as well. You brought something up about the purpose too, because I want to tell you this, money has never been my motivator. Success has been. I used to be in the IT world, and I worked for a company, Sun Microsystems. They were very well known.
Yeah, I know Sun Microsystems. Really?
Yeah. I'm sure you know who Bloomberg is, right?
Yeah.
Bloomberg was my client. I had Bloomberg, Reuters, Cablevision at the time, now they're Optimum. So, I had some heavy hitters.
Yeah.
I had the biggest single contract in the country with Bloomberg. Okay. Yeah. But my office was in the Trade Center.
Ah, the Trade Center.
Yeah. I was supposed to be there that day. My office on 25th floor. Yeah. I watched the second plane hit. My boss told me to come in late that day. I did the first meeting on the phone because I just snagged a huge deal with ADP, right? Automated data processing. I won the deal of the month, whatever. My boss was like, come in later. I'm like, okay. And I did the meeting on the phone. I was on the phone with my team, and I saw the second plane hit as I was on our side of the river.
Oh my goodness.
And then what I did was I wound up, I'm certified in, CPR and first aid and all that kind of stuff. So I wound up going in. I got a ride across the Perth Amboy Bridge from a corrections officer. And then I hopped on the train to go to Staten Island. And I went there to the ferry to try to help get people off the ferries and, get them some care and so forth. So I was pretty busy that day, but I was spared. And then it was funny because a lot of things changed. Like I had 6 months, 6 months prior to that, I got separated. Then this happened, and then everything started changing. And then, Sun's no longer there. After the fifth layoff, I got hit with the fifth or sixth layoff for the company. And I looked around at the landscape, and I'm like, gosh, I already had my business. I did it part time. And I'm like, got two choices. Go do this follow my passion. Look, I'm alive for a reason. God put me here. God said, don't go to that building that day for some reason. So I have not turned back. I mean, that's why I'm on my fourth book. And actually, I'm negotiating right now for a fifth book. You know, the Books for Dummies?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
you're going to be part of that collection? Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah. 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 So I have a meeting with them on Tuesday. So,
this is so awesome, man.
Yeah. It's really cool. You know, I went back to school. I obtained my master's degree in health and sports sciences. And I graduated top of the class. I was a speaker to the commencement of, you know, 10,000 graduates. So it was pretty awesome. And I've just been completely driven by this passion. Look, I've had my setbacks too. I mean, heck, well, my gym was packed. I was doing seminars. I just started the Body Bell Method, had the great, there's this certification first one. And then COVID hit.
Yeah.
Shut it all down. So I had to switch models. And so now, you know, I sold the building. You know, and I revamped to like an online format, plus obviously being a professor, my mindset training. And as we're going, I have a Patreon channel now. I'm on Burn Along. I have workouts on there as well. I just launched two new funnels too. Like, this is a good time to get me. I mean, last week I just got them going. One is my Survival Strong. I have 6 learning modules for defensive tactics, plus 20 workouts, plus a manual, right? It's only $79. Then I have my kettlebell secrets. That's another one. There's over 100 kettlebell moves addressed in it. Plus the manual I wrote for NASM. NASM is the National Academy of Sports Medicine. Right? So that's included. That's like a 44-page manual, plus a 140-page book, kettlebell workout library. It's got 104 workouts in it, plus warm-ups, plus ton of stuff. You get all that, okay? And then you know, that there's also a certification attached to it if you want to do that. And then, of course, the Body Bell Method, which is the one we're speaking of right now, that's a registered trademark now. I own the trademark, and it's I want a franchise. Like I was telling you prior that I just got invited to be on the Blocks. It's a it's like an entrepreneur show. It's a feature on Amazon. And we're going to be filming this summer in July. So I'm looking forward to that because I need help with someone helping me franchise this stuff. Even though I have everything laid out, look, one of the things you have to understand is what you're weak at. Okay. You know, perform your strengths, but you know what? Train your weaknesses. So I have to get some more training in that. And like, I'm constantly evolving, trying to get better. I never want to sit still. Dude, I'm 61 years old. I'm rocking it every day. And I'm ready to keep going.
You know what's crazy, Phil, is I'm only 35 and I'm listening to the way you move. And I'm thinking, man, why am I so tired every day? You said you're 61 and you're crushing it, doing things left and right. There's so many things you dropped in that last segment where you were breaking things down, from the art of the pivot, resilience, purpose, and even showing how important it is to be coachable, even when you've already proven that you can perform. There's so many gems that you dropped just through the sheer example of who you are as a person, which I think is important for those who are listening to take a moment and let that sink in, how important that is as an example of the kind of character that's necessary. And just when you thought, you know, I'll be honest with you, I recently turned 35 and I caught myself more often than not lately saying things like, yeah, well, you know, when life has punched you in the chin enough times, and I'm complaining, you know, I'm hearing this now as I'm talking to you. I'm sitting there flapping my gums. I'm 35 and I'm listening to you. And I just think to myself, wow, I've got to get back on the horse, man.
Yeah. Look, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. Look, I've been knocked down. Been knocked down many times. You just got to get up. You know, look, I just had my shoulder redone. I had rotator cuff, labral tear, bone spurs, bicep tendon partial, right? 4 months ago. I'm back working out. You know, I'm posting these things on YouTube called Road to Recovery.
Turning your weaknesses into strengths.
Yep.
You're unstoppable, Phil.
I, you know, look, can't kill me. I know it. just, you know, it's, you know, it's here. It's all here.
I was just about to ask you, look, there's no way. Is it because you exercise every day that you have the neuroplasticity to snap out of it? Would you say that that may be where it's coming from? Or is it because you never forget why you're doing what you're doing?
Yes. Combination. whenever something happens, good or bad, I always think there's more than one facet involved. You know, there's more than one aspect to it. How did you get there? Yeah, you know, it's a combination of things. Yeah, unless I work out, do something every day, I don't feel whole. I have to do something. I'd like to breathe hard every day. And why? It's releasing my endorphins. You know, I get that dopamine pumping into my system. I feel purposeful. You know, human beings need to have a purpose. You need to have a purpose. And when you said something, it sparked something. Because I'll tell you what, in 2019, honestly, I was a little cocky right then. Okay, here's why. And you know, I got taken down. And I'm gonna tell you what happened. My school was killing. I had to put a waiting list on my studio. I couldn't take any more personal clients. My classes were packed. Okay, I was a part-time college professor. Okay, and I was teaching like four classes at the college, community college, and you know, I just came off giving a speech and graduating top of my class, my master's, and I was in my 50s. And I'm thinking, man, everything's awesome, you know? And then the end of 2019, it just started going south in 2020. Things blew up. And, you know, I mean, I had to do three moves. Thank God I have a pickup. I had to do three physical moves in 2020. I don't even want to bore everyone with that, but there's a lot of things that went on. But things like, you have to take time to step back and reevaluate and then, move forward. It's funny, you know, I was talking to my wife and I said, yeah, I'm going to take like a month off and figure out what I want to do, right? And she looks at me, like, whatever. She goes, you took off about 4 hours. You know, the second it was closed, man, I was back at it.
sometimes I feel like there are certain people in the world that just couldn't stop if they tried. It's almost a self-expression to be on the move and to be doing things. And I can imagine when 2019 hit, someone who works so closely with people, what that did to you, because of how you engage with the world in a very visceral way. I'm curious, when you come face to face with people who reach out to you and they want to be trained and they're not like that, for example, how do I better
most of them
this
are.
Question? Yeah. Who is the hardest client? You don't have to put their name out there, but I'm saying, what was the experience like with your hardest client that was possibly just not made of the same stuff as you, but they wanted better? Because there's a lot of people I know in my own life and people that I've come across and myself included who there's twofold. Okay. This is a big question, but I think it's important. And someone like you is specifically uniquely qualified to answer this. There are people who do physical labor jobs, but they know that exercise is part of health, but what are they supposed to do? Work out after they worked a hard day's work? There's those people, right? And what your thoughts are for them to just consider. Right. And then, of course, there's the laptop class, as they call it these days. And these are people who are mostly on calls and on the computer. And sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. But it's a lifestyle choice at that point. And, you know, let's face it, after your metabolism slows down after a certain age and it only gets worse with time. Right. So when you come face to face with those two types of people in your work, what are your thoughts on both of those matters? Just because I feel like you are uniquely qualified to give them the seed they need to reframe how important health is. Because I recently had a health setback like a year ago, and I didn't know what my health was, even just walking around until that happened. And even then, I recovered. I got lazy, got back into the motion, and totally forgot. But talking to you again sparked something like that. Awesome. So I have to ask that again. Please tell us.
I'm glad that I was a catalyst to get you back going again. Okay. So, I have trained people across a wide spectrum from laborers to desk jockeys to, whatever. And the things that now it depends on what type of labor you are. Like, is it more, most physical labor jobs are muscular endurance based. They're doing a repetitive motion, you know, all day or, you know, throughout the day. So one of the things you want to focus on then is mobility. Okay. And so you want to do mobility. And I mean, honestly, this is going to sound crazy. If you want to get stronger, just work out on the weekend. Just make it purposeful and do your mobility and maybe some calisthenics during the week and do it in the morning when you get up. Don't do it when you're done. You know, go for a walk with your dog or your wife or whatever. You know, but I would focus on the mobility training. If you want to do strength training, do it once a week. You just have to do low reps, multi-joint movements, you know, things like that. You know, whether you're using a bar or a kettlebell or something, use multi-joint movements. And you don't have to do that much, muscular endurance because you're doing it. Again, it depends. And then I'll also ask them what their goal is. Okay, if some people want to do jujitsu, some people want to box. So I would have to cater it toward what they are doing.
That's where the coaching comes in. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But you know, just as an overall thing, you look at what the job that they're doing, what their function is, and how it's working their muscles. And then what you do is you fill it in with what they're not doing. And most of them are not doing any mobility or flexibility work at all. Okay. And then, heavy reps, heavy weight with low reps is probably not something they're doing either. So you want to get that in for overall strength. Now, someone who's sitting on their tush all day. Okay.
I feel like you're talking about me here.
The one thing that has killed this country is a thing called NEAT, or the lack thereof. That's non-exercise activity thermogenesis. Okay. You need to look at it. Yeah. Back in the day, like, I'll take my grandparents, for example. My grandfather was a laborer and then he was a boxer, right? And then my grandmother, she took care of the house, right? But she was lifting furniture, dusting, putting clothes, washing stuff by hand. You know, using the clothesline. I mean, all this kind of stuff. She's sweeping, you know, moving constantly. These people lived into their 90s.
Yeah. Okay? Couldn't kill them if they tried.
Right. And they were working. They were moving all the time. We don't move enough. Here's a typical American person. Okay. They get up in the morning. They go to work. They sit in their car or on the bus or the train and go to work, right? And what do they do when they get to work? They sit again.
the perfect imitation of an American person is someone sitting down.
So then they leave work, right? And what are they doing? They drive home or take the bus home and they're sitting. And they go home, they plop on the couch and grab the remote. And then when they grab the remote one hand, they're grabbing snacks in the other hand. This is the thing, okay? I tell people, hey, you know what? You want to drop some weight? Read a book. Nobody eats while they're reading a book, and a book not the stuff on the computer, right? Think about it. Have you ever, do you see people eating and reading, sipping a cup of coffee? That's one thing. But do you see someone eating a sandwich or reading a book? No, you just don't do it. Read. And play, you know, you're going to get a little bit smarter too, instead of just sitting there looking at a boob tube all day, right? Read a book. I mean, I'm always, not only am I writing books, but I'm reading two books right now. So
non-exercise activity thermogenesis.
Yeah. Wow. I get into that exercise snacks book. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, man. I knew it would be the right person to ask about that kind of idea as an exploration because of your pedigree. And, you know, and I want to roll out the red carpet for you because you've been not only sharing your story with us and been so generous with that, but you also told us about all the amazing things you're doing. And I'm sure you've got places where people can check that out, link up, connect with you. Where specifically would you want them to connect with you and follow up after having heard this?
Sure. Okay. My main site is philross.com. Just go to philross.com, real easy. The Bodybell Method has its own site called bodybellmethod.com. But I'm there. My Instagram is on my website. My Facebook, I even have a TikTok, Master Phil. Check out my YouTube channel, at The Master Phil. There's over, there's about 700 videos there right now at the Master Fill. And there's a lot of free content. I'm showing that whole thing with the rehab, but my shoulder and what I'm doing and everything. And, I also have a LinkedIn profile there as well, but you can get to everywhere just by going to philross.com. Real easy. Everything's there. Just add my social media links. People can hit me up. Either send me a message from the website or, hit me up on one of the social media platforms. I think I'm easy to talk to.
Yeah. Are you more active on one more than the other? Or just so people know, sometimes people get hit you up.
Well, I'm an old dude, so a little more Facebook.
Okay.
but I'm pretty good on IG. And I like LinkedIn. I'll tell you, you know why I like LinkedIn? It's a little more professional.
Yeah.
You know, most of the politics and all the nonsense is off there. I mean, it's leaking it a little bit because you can't help it. But for the most part, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. And, I even have some TikTok videos up too. So I got a TikTok account too. So,
I love it, man. I mean, Your energy is contagious. You know, and you know what's crazy is it must be a Phil thing because I'm usually that person in my own circles whenever I'm around a circle. But when I'm by myself, I'm very studious, very serious. Yeah. I imagine you're no different. You don't fall into black belts and other things on accident, like I said at the beginning of this conversation. I mean, a coach, trainer, a lecturer, an adjunct professor, CEO, you know, global CIO, company owner, you know, author, system developer of methods for working out. I mean, the list goes on, man. You've done a lot and you're just getting started from the sound of it.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm just getting going.
Yeah. So for me, I need to look back at my own life, and I can't thank you enough for stopping by, sharing a little bit with us about what it means to be involved in movement.
If you got 2 seconds, so I know we're a hard time, but I used to train with this guy. He was a great high level martial artist, judo, karate. He was a Green Beret and he was a mercenary, contractor, right? We trained together. And he was telling me about like doing this, that, and the other thing. I was like in my late 20s, like 29 maybe, right? And I'm like, God, you can't be good at everything. He looked at me and said, why not? And I said, you know what? He's right. Why not? So I just try stuff.
Oh, man. Why not? No, seriously.
Why not? Yeah.
Do you have people, we were going to close this out, but now I have to ask, do you have people in your life? And I'm sure the answer is yes. But do you have people in your life that have started off similar energy as you early on? You stayed friends with them, you know, here and there you chat, but you see at some point they stopped. They didn't keep evolving as a person. For you, how do you approach that? Have you ever attempted to open that subject with them? Or do you tell yourself something along the lines of, you know, people have their own lives to live, but I'll always be there?
Yeah.
Or what does that look like for you?
Well, I used to try to hold people to my standard, and I gave up on it just because I don't want to put them off. And just because look at it in college. Some people graduate with A's, some people graduate with C's. Okay. People work out. Some people make it to the high level. Some people don't. Right. But are they still a better person for it? Did they still accomplish something? Yes. But not everyone has the drive in my areas of expertise that I have. And I can't expect that of other people. But can they benefit from doing my trainings, my training methodologies? Absolutely. So that's why I don't want to turn them off. I want to turn them on. So
there it is. Man, I know why you're a trainer and why it's been so successful, because everything you say is designed to go, well, if that's what you're thinking, this is what you can think and what is possible at every turn. Your language literally exposes your mindset. I've always believed this. And when I hear you speak, I see you take whatever situation may look like at the moment and say, yeah, but it can always be better. It's like you said, you can't be good at everything. Why not?
Why?
Right? That quote stuck with you, sticking with us, among many other things, live better, longer. This is all the energy that you brought to us today. And I'm only 35 and I started noticing my mental pattern. And to hear you talking about, you said 61, and you're making me look like I'm a dusty 90-year-old at this point. And I'm thinking something's wrong. I'm 60 years too early for that. So, Bill, here's to you, man. Thank you so much for everything you've done on this conversation. I really want to encourage people again to check out what you're doing. And you said it was philross.com or?
Yep, philross.com.
All links can be found there. You've got books, kettlebell trainings. Now I'm going to look into more. I'll talk to you about this after. I'm looking into some kettlebell stuff too. You said some really interesting things. And I can't thank you enough for bringing all that you are to this conversation. You left everything on the field, and not everyone does that. Sometimes people are very conservative, but I don't get that feeling from you at all.
Nah. Pleasure's all here. Pleasure's all here.
Thanks, all here. Bill.
Thank you.